coming up on the Movie Review Crew podcast.
If you guys haven't seen, and I know I'm going off topic here, but I don't care. Yeah, I'm hosting. Ty West did a Western with
you derailed us for this. Great.
No, I got it. Ethan Hawke. He did a Western with Ethan Hawke
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Movie Review Crew. We are going to be bringing you our top 10 movies of 2022. I'm excited to bring this to you. With me is Matt McNeil.
Hello.
Steve Rushlaw.
How are you now?
And Aaron Chronican.
Hello.
I didn't mention me. I'm your host, Shane Chronican. And before we get into this, what have you seen lately? I'm just kidding. We're not doing that today. Like I said, we're reviewing movies of 2022. So, Aaron, start us off. Not with your list yet, but as a whole. No, it's just stats for nerds. As a whole, how was this year for movies?
I say very good. Maybe that's because of how...
Okay, let me elaborate. How was this year for not boring movies that you enjoyed?
Still very good.
Oh.
I mean, but we're comparing it to last year, which was god awful.
Yeah, not
just
great.
Terrible. Yeah, but this was a good year.
Yeah, okay. Steve, what did you think about the year as a whole?
I think this year was a much better year than last year. I think we're finally starting to get back to going to theaters.
Yeah, movies. That was a good return this year. Yeah. It was nice to go to theaters again.
Movies are starting to roll in production. We're finally seeing movies from 2020 that are finally hitting theaters.
You know what's crazy? We still have some 2020 movies that are being rolled out to next year.
Oh yeah.
So 2023 should be even more loaded, but I guess we'll find out.
And I think it'll show. Aaron will show that. We'll say the stats later of the movies we watched, but our movies this year compared to last year is almost like, I think we doubled it. It's crazy.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you what our 2021 lists were like. I don't remember.
No. Matt, you're the horror writer here, the horror expert. What was it? What was this year like for horror? Because look at my list.
It was pretty good.
I have zero. So
I have. let's see here. One.
Well, okay. So there weren't any like standout amazing ones, but this was a good year. There were just a lot of solid movies this year. Not even just horror. I mean, movies that.
Yeah.
Not great, but just solid.
I'll definitely give you that. My top four were locks. Probably my top six or seven were definites. And then to fill it out, there was a list of maybe 20 or so that would be that were in contention for the last few on my spot. Because like you said, there were just a lot of solid movies. There weren't a whole ton of super amazing movies, but there were a lot of solid, enjoyable movies.
And there were a few, I mean, horror or horror adjacent movies that I would have considered in the top 25 and just outside of the top 10. Really. I mean, there was Pearl and X in the same year, which was
multiple horror movies that narrowly missed my top 10.
Barbarian, I wasn't high on Barbarian, but a lot of people loved it.
Yeah, I watched a decent amount of horror movies for 2022. And I think there were only one or two that I watched where I'm like, this is just awful. But you got movies that came out like Aaron said, X and Pearl, which were both phenomenal. Barbarian was really good. Scream was, I liked it.
One of the biggest surprises for how much what I expected out of a movie and how much I absolutely loved it was a movie called Deadstream on Shudder.
Uh-huh.
It was fantastic.
I don't have Shudder, so I didn't get around to watching
that. Oh, it was so good.
There were a few that I really wanted to watch that I didn't get around to. Like I really like Terrifier 2 has been on my watch list since.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it yet. But
you had mentioned Scream. I wasn't really impressed with 2022 Scream, but I think the build up to Scream 6 this year.
I'm excited for Scream 6.
Oh yeah, definitely. The trailers have been really good. Hopefully we get some good horror movies this coming year.
They're based off of the tentative list of movies that are coming out it does look like it's going to be another fun year for horror.
Based off our most anticipated, which you can see on our website, there were many that didn't make it, but it was hard to leave them off. But there were a few that made it. Going off of that into action movies, which we all know I watched too many. We'll just leave it at that.
Too many with an IMDb rating under 5.
That's my take on this year. There was one in particular. I'm sure it's on all of our lists, but Matt, that I would place in the instant classic range. After that, there were some that were good. There were a lot that were good, fine to good. But what I was missing were those low budget ones that just came out of nowhere and hit me. I mean, Scott Adkins makes 805 movies a year. He had one released this year. So that didn't help. But there just weren't those standout, you know, straight to streaming low budget action movies like I usually get every year. And I don't know what the cause of that was, but a little.
Maybe they stopped making money.
I don't know. Who knows? I don't even want to guess. But I mean, they never made money. Let's be honest.
Bruce Willis isn't doing movies anymore, so that cut the number.
That's not true. That's not true. Paradise City came out.
He's apparently got a stockpile of 150 movies that they're just slow dripping to his.
He has one just coming out in January, and
he just signed his rights over. Didn't he just sign his rights over?
Yeah, we'll get AI, Bruce.
Well, there's rumors, there's conflicting reports on that, so who knows how that's going to go. But Bruce was in actually a movie called White Elephant that was very good in 2022.
He was also in a movie called Paradise City, which was the lowest rated movie movies that we've seen year.
Very good, very good. I mean, he was in it with John Travolta. How are you going to beat
that? Oh, that just sounds awful.
I challenge you. It wasn't great.
I
want to see old John Travolta and old Bruce Willis together. No, thank you.
Was that the DVD cover that it looked like Travolta had?
He was buttoning it, his suit
and
coat.
Like, and these Americans need a gun in this picture.
Photoshop a gun into it. Yeah.
I mean, it's low budget. What are you going to do? They spent all their money on Bruce Willis's face and John Travolta's face. But yeah, a somewhat disappointing year for action. There were a lot that were in contention, but just didn't quite make the cut for me. So Aaron, very quickly before we get into our list, do your nerd stats. Let the people know how many movies.
I'll be quick.
Just to kind of throw out there that we're not basing this on, you know, it's not like we all saw 10 movies and these are those. So
yeah,
so throw
it's a pretty comprehensive list. We have seen between the four of us, we have seen 185 movies total, which
it's pretty impressive.
Is literally double what we watched all of last year. I mean, there's a lot more better movies that have come out. Of those 185 though, 85 were seen by multiple reviewers, more than one of us. Most of those other 100 were probably Bruce Willis movies that none of us have seen.
Yep.
or awful dramas that I'm like, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and then nobody else had any desire to see it.
Or Netflix action movies that nobody has any business watching, but I pushed play on anyways.
Yep. Things like Shark Side of the Moon, a Tubi original that I put myself through.
You have Tubi?
It's free, man.
Yeah, who doesn't have Tubi?
And when there's a movie called Shark Side of the Moon, I'm watching it.
You're a sucker for space, Aaron.
Yeah. So how many then?
Monster movies.
How many unique movies did we watch then?
185.
Oh, that's unique.
That's unique movies. Yeah. Individual movies.
So how many total?
At least
then?
One of us have seen. I mean, yeah, if you count multiple, like if I don't know. Each of our views of.
He's not that big of a nerd.
Right. No. Okay,
I just tracked each movie, put it on a spreadsheet here.
So, go ahead. Do you have more?
Yeah. I mean, just another number. I mean, it's not a huge number, but over 40 of those 185 were seen by three out of the four of us, at least three of us, which compared to last year, there weren't many. There were 15 that three of us had the desire to see.
I guess that means there were more good movies that we all wanted to
see. More good movies. Yeah. I'm telling you, the numbers show it. There were more movies we were interested in seeing.
Yeah, that's a more accurate description. Not necessarily good movies, but more movies that we were all more interested in.
Even the train wrecks drew us in more. Things like the Munsters,
Oh yeah,
nobody had any bit.
I wear that as a badge of honor that I was able to not watch that.
The best movie of 2022. You haven't seen it?
Yeah. Spoiler alert! It's all of our number one.
And somehow it escaped unscathed when the Razzies came out. Come on, Razzies, get your game on.
Razzies, the monsters. Razzies, screw the Razzies. Hating on my boy Bruce for no damn reason.
I mean, he should have stopped making movies like
20. No, he shouldn't have. The man was making money while he could. Cut him some slack. Okay, so before we get into our list, I just want to go quickly, very quickly, just give a sentence or two how you compiled this list, what you considered. I'll go first and give an example. So I place probably at least half, if not more, of a premium on entertainment / rewatchability. So my list is not necessarily the best movies.
Oh, none of these are.
Right.
These are my favorite movies.
Yeah. I don't want to make it sound like I don't take into account, like, holy crap, that was an impressive movie. It definitely gets points for that. But I do place a high premium on, man, that was an absolute blast. I will watch that multiple times in the future. So that's how I made my list. Matt, how did you make yours?
Very similar. I mean, I do look at, like, I think out of all of the movies on my list, I think there's maybe one that I probably won't watch again anytime soon, but it was a good enough movie that, like, it, how do you not put it on a top 10 of the year? Right. But I do put a lot of weight on, am I gonna watch this again, how much did right. I like, how much fun did I have while I'm watching it, and stuff like that.
Yep. Steve, Aaron, any difference, any additions to how
I think one of the bigger things, especially this year, because there were so many movies that I put in the same area of possibly being in my top 10, what stood out was how long that movie lingered. How long did I keep thinking about it after watching it? Whether it was a performance, a character, a scene, the music, that
just the general feeling.
I mean, it, not necessarily even the best movie, but it's like, did I like it enough that I wanted to revisit it immediately, or kept thinking about it a week after I watched it? So that's what stood out.
Little foreshadowing. That's the reason my number one is my number one, is because I could not get it out of my head, so it kept moving up my list. So that's a little foreshadowing there. Steve, anything to add on how you made your list? Or
I was just gonna kind of go with Aaron. It's kind of a mix on my list, is character or acting performances. So, like, it's half and half, acting performances that really stood out, and then movies that really stood out, and rewatchability, like Matt said.
So one very last thing before we start a list, any honorable mentions that you just have to say?
There's like a five-way tie for
like a 10 A B C D E thing, but the one that I was so heartbroken to leave off, and I'm sure it will make an appearance in some lists, but I don't want to spoil anything, so don't say anything, but Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent did not find a spot in my top 10. And that was one of the most surprisingly fun and well-made and funny, and at the same time dramatic. And I wrestled with putting it as number 10, but
Banshees of Inisherin.
Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. I would still recommend that to anybody, but it did not make my top 10.
Matt, pick one must-see honorable mention.
X. If I had to pick one, X just barely missed. Like, I wanted to put it on my top 10 so bad, but it like, if it were, it would easily be like my number 11 or 12 if we were doing like a top 15 or top 20. Like, it barely missed. But there were a few that I was like, man, I really want to put this on here, but I had to restrict myself to just 10 movies.
Yeah, 10 is hard. 10 is hard. Steve, if you had to pick one, do you have a one honorable mention?
Yeah, actually, I got my list down to 13, so I kind of had at 13, I was kind of struggling. But if I had to pick one of my honorable mentions, it's got to be Violent Night.
Oh,
That was a really fun movie.
Oh, so fun.
It was such a blast. What's his name? Why can't I think of his name?
David Harbour.
Yeah, that's I was thinking that, yeah. But I couldn't remember. He's such a blast in that movie, and it's just
Leguizamo's good in it.
Yeah, he is.
It's a different take on a Christmas movie.
Great soundtrack, a score, I should say. Okay, so my one, and I hate even saying it, because it could be on there. I know, trust me. Weird, the Al Yankovic Story.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot express to you how much I absolutely love that movie. And I just there was no room. And I hate that, but it happened. So that's a bummer. So there's some honorable mentions. Let's start it off then. Let's start at number 10. We'll start with, let's go alphabetical order. So Aaron, what do you got at number 10?
Oh, this was the toughest call, and I had, there are so many movies that I wanted to put on here, but I ended up going with one that, again, how much I thought about it and how it lingered and how much I was surprised I actually enjoyed it. I'm going to go with number 10, The Greatest Beer Run Ever.
I had not heard of that movie.
I had no desire to see the movie. It's a true story. Zac Efron plays a guy that was not fighting in Vietnam, but to play his part, he kind of got stuck doing it. But he literally took beer to his friends fighting in Vietnam. I don't know how historically accurate it is. It's the performance by Zac Efron was incredible.
He's a good actor.
He is, and he doesn't get credit for it. But that movie is one that stuck with me, and I thought it was, I had a blast watching it. Efron was great in it. It was funny. It was fun. And there were also some moments where it was set. I mean, it's a top 10 movie of the year for me. And the how long it stuck with me is why it had to sneak in at number 10.
Yeah, I actually saw that one as well. And it's I had it just outside my top 10. So I thought Efron was fantastic. And actually, Bill Murray actually came to Omaha and did like a opening showing for The Greatest Beer Run.
Unfortunately, it's an Apple original, so
yeah,
that's why
I put that on my list. I put that as my second best movie that I didn't watch,
behind the Munsters, right?
Behind the Munsters. Matt, that brings us to you. Number 10, what's number 10 for you?
So clocking in at number 10 for me is Smile. It is the first of three horror movies that made my top 10.
The train wreck that your list is. I mean,
oh, please. No, I liked that movie quite a bit for what it was. Like, yeah. When I first saw the trailer for it, I was expecting it to be a complete and utter like dumpster fire, but it was like really like in the vein of It Follows. It was like really, really good movie. It had a lot to say about trauma and how we process it and dealing with, you know,
and I can't remember that kind of name, but Kevin Bacon's daughter.
Kevin Bacon's daughter. She's very, very good.
I think that's actually her name.
Kevin Bacon's daughter.
I just looked up the movie on IMDb.
And Kevin Bacon Jr. Did he name her Kevin?
Yeah, definitely.
I can't remember her name. Kevin
Bacon. Sizzlin' Bacon.
That's a good name.
Sizzlin' Bacon. But no, she was very good in it. And it you know, they kind of do this weird thing where it turns into like a monster movie at the end. But I mean, It Follows is also kind of a monster movie at the end.
Right.
And also through the whole thing. But it was surprisingly good for what it was.
All right.
I liked that one. I mean, that's one of the horror movies that stuck with me this year because it wasn't, I mean, toward the end, like you said, it's a monster, but most of it is just people's performance creating terror and fear and tension, and there's nothing to show other than that person. So it was good.
All right. Well, that brings it to me. My number 10, I'll be brief. You're going to hate me that this made my list. I don't even care.
Oh my God.
Day Shift.
Oh my God.
That's my honorable mention. That's
guys.
Actual train wreck of a list. Here we
go. That movie was so much fun. I don't care.
I mean, an absolute blast. For it made my list just for the Nazarian brothers scene alone. I mean, Scott Adkins and I can't think of the other actor's name. Just an absolute blast, plus a fantastic small almost extended cameo by Snoop Dogg. I mean, a great soundtrack, just an overall fun vibe.
It's an absolute blast. I know I almost hate myself for putting on the list.
No, like, no. I watched it with my wife and she was laughing the whole damn time. What's his name? The Franco? Dave Franco?
Yeah.
The lesser Franco. Yeah.
No, the better Franco. Yeah.
The not creepy.
Yeah. The one who doesn't. Franco. Yeah. The decent human Franco. But yeah, Day Shift. I mean, absolute blast. One of the most enjoyable movies of the year. So it makes my list at 10. Steve, what do you got at 10?
A movie. I don't know if any of you guys have, I think Aaron has seen it. It is The Outfit.
Ah, yeah.
Mark Rylance. I have a feeling we're going to hear another Mark Rylance from Aaron, but we'll see. He is a cutter. He pretty much makes suits. He also works pretty much for the mafia, and it's kind of some guys come to get some stuff at his thing and crazy things ensue.
It's hard to talk about with any spoilers, but yeah, it's kind of a mystery whodunit type of thing, and it's unraveling as he finds things out. But it's one of those movies that takes place entirely in one place following one man, and Mark Rylance is definitely one man that can pull that off.
Yeah, I'm one of the better actors working today, no doubt. That brings it back to you, Aaron. What do you got at number 9?
Another Mark Rylance movie. The one that I debated between the two, because I like him a lot, man. But this one was, to me, more fun. It's called The Phantom of the Open. Another true story about a British golfer that basically snuck his way into the British Open and shot the worst score in the history of the British Open. Like, just had never golfed before. But it is. And then he got banned and snuck in under multiple other aliases and different disguises and things. But it's more about his family. And it's such a good movie. And Mark Rylance, man, that guy, he can act. I recommend that to anybody. I don't think it got enough love, and I don't think enough people saw it, but definitely a top 10 movie for me.
Yeah, that's another one that I've not ever heard of. Was that also an Apple TV exclusive?
That was Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I had to rent it on Amazon. I don't know if it's streaming for free anywhere.
Gotcha.
All right. That brings it back to Matt then. Matt, what have you got at number 9?
My number 9 is Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Fantastic movie. 15 years in the making. Finally got to see it this year. If I were making my list based purely off of like technical Marvel and filmmaking, this would be in my top 3. But it's not as enjoyable as some of the higher up movies on my list. But it's definitely an amazing movie. Great cast, great voice acting, great animation.
That's all stop motion, isn't it?
Yeah, stop motion. That's why it took 15 years to make.
Yeah, and it is incredible.
That's crazy that he took that long to make this movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, he loves animation, times the animation isn't like, it's not just for kids, and I think this movie is a wonderful example of that.
It's like a giant middle finger to Disney too. Like, Disney comes out with their just awful, ugly Pinocchio, and he's like, "Hey, how about I do it?"
Right. He's like, "I can do it better.
You should do it."
It's got it feels like such a Guillermo del Toro movie too, which, I mean, obviously it should. He's directing it, but got his essence. Ewan
McGregor is the narrator, the cricket. Yep. Jiminy Cricket, which was a good call because I like Ewan McGregor and a lot.
The lesson that the movie teaches you at the end is that everybody dies. Deal with it.
Like, it's so funny. And so, like, the cricket's just like, yeah, it's basically Forrest Gump, shit happens. Like,
I haven't seen that one. I can't recommend it enough.
It's on Netflix. I can't recommend it enough to people. Go watch it if you haven't seen it.
Definite good pick.
So that comes to me. My number 9 is one that I absolutely enjoyed the heck out of. I was excited for it, but didn't have great expectations as for its quality, but man, it really impressed me. And that's The Woman King. Viola Davis is, I mean, when people talk about the best actors working today, she needs to be in that conversation. She is
absolutely amazing in everything she does. Nominated for a Golden Globe for her performance in The Woman King. Absolutely carries. I mean, it's a fun, good action movie, some good drama, but man, without her, it wouldn't be nearly the level it is.
Who is
absolutely
her,
amazing.
Who's the right-hand woman?
Lashana Lynch, who was also fantastic in No Time to Die. Good. Oh, she was incredible in this. The Woman King, it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Viola Davis, I mean, she's one of the
That's another one that I wanted to see, but I never got around to.
And at the risk of all these female action movies don't do it right. The Woman King did. If you want me to take it seriously and believe that these women could kick my ass and beat up anybody that they're actually portrayed on screen as beating up, I wouldn't go near it.
She did put the work in. She looked strong as hell. It's an impressive movie.
And you know they can all thank Jennifer Lawrence for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because before her, women weren't in action movies. So thank you, Jennifer Lawrence, for making A Woman King possible. Oh man. Oh God. That's sad. Oh, Jennifer Lawrence. Steve, that brings it to you. What's your number nine?
My number nine is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That low, huh?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of got pushed down because of a couple acting performances. But this could have been anywhere from 5 to 9 for me. Ki Wei Kwan, I think that's how you say it. Ki, who's from the Goonies, was in it. He won a Golden Globe. I'm probably going to butcher their name, but Michelle Yeoh also won a Golden Globe for Best Actress.
She is so great. I mean,
she's been
very good.
An absolute legend.
Everything she's in. Jamie Lee Curtis is in this.
She's great in it too.
Yeah, there's the three main actors, actresses, whatever you want to call them, are fantastic in this. And the storyline is just like bonkers.
Sorry to interrupt. I haven't seen that. I meant to say that before my 10. It will not be making an appearance on my list. It's not because I didn't enjoy it. It's because I haven't seen it. But I did want to interject and say, did you guys see when Michelle Yeoh won her Golden Globe, how absolutely bonkers Jamie Lee Curtis went because she was sitting right next to her and how pumped she was for her? That was one of my favorite moments of the Golden Globes. That was so cool to see.
I didn't see that, but that makes my heart happy. Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis is just so wholesome.
Look up the video. It was one of the best moments of the Golden Globes. But sorry, so, Steve, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. So my boss, coworker, whatever you want to call him at work, he watched a couple movies that I had technically suggested. I said they were okay. They weren't great. I had said Amsterdam and the Banshees of Inisherin. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you don't like good movies, do you? And I was like, I'm going to let you borrow the Blu-ray for Everything Everywhere All at Once. And if you don't like that movie, I will never suggest
it.
If you don't like this movie, I will quit. Because he's a big Matrix fan. So I'm like,
oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
If you don't like this movie, I'm done giving you suggestions.
Yeah. You know what? I will refrain from giving comments because it might make an appearance higher up in my list.
All right. So that brings us back to you, Aaron. What is your number 8?
Everything Everywhere All.
No, heck no. My number 8 is the most fun I had all year watching a movie, Bullet Train. An absolute blast. Well written, hilarious, great performances all around. I don't care much for that director. I wasn't expecting much. It just really, it was Aaron Taylor Johnson's performance, and then gosh, I can't think of his name. I'll have Brad to look it up. Pitt. Brian Tyree Johnson. Is that it? Brian Tyree Johnson. No, Brad Pitt. Yeah. No, he was good in it too, Brad Pitt. But really, it was the two brothers just the writing and the way.
Brian Tyree Henry.
Yeah. Henry. Okay. The way it kept Aaron coming likes back.
Joey King.
Joey King was, yeah. But man, such a fun movie.
Yeah, absolute blast. Great, and a great cast. All pulled their weight. Yep. That brings us to Matt. Then your number eight.
My number eight is a last minute entry. It's one of the last movies that I'd squeezed in for the year. It's See How They Run. Fantastic whodunit. One of the funniest movies. Like, there are actually a surprising amount of comedies on my list this year. Because usually comedies don't make it on my top 10. But this one was so fun. Great performances. Hannah from Hannah was in it, and I always like her in movies.
Some people call her Saoirse Ronan for some reason. I don't know why they call her that.
Yeah, no, it's Hannah from Hannah.
You want to talk about just a tight Sam Rockwell is
really good.
Well written.
Extremely well written.
I'm so glad that whodunits are
A 1,000%. 1,000%. That brings me to my number eight, another well-written movie.
God.
Oh, man. The movie Interceptor.
On
absolute pure and like just enjoyability.
Number one's going to be Ambulance, isn't it?
It might be. It might be. Dude, you want to talk about, Aaron mentioned earlier, female badasses. Elsa Pataky was incredible in this movie, start to finish. Very quick runtime because there's no plot. Who cares? It's start to finish, nonstop, amazing, fantastic, good humor that actually sticks. Fun kills, fun fight scenes, well executed fight scenes, and Elsa Pataky just nailed every single bit of it. It was a blast. I loved it.
Absolutely. They also I laughed out loud. They had that cliche moment when the guy, a serious moment, and he just whips off his glasses. Absolutely, like,
yes. That's what I mean. That character, it's the comic relief character that's in almost any action movie, but a lot of times it doesn't work. He worked. It worked.
Did he have a turtle or something?
It shouldn't have worked. It was a directorial debut.
Some might say it didn't work.
$10. But it worked, and one of the greatest action movie final kills of the year. That just amazing. I loved it. I'm not even sorry I put it on the list. Interceptor at my number eight. Steve, what's your number eight?
My number eight is The Banshees of Inisherin. It might not be the greatest movie on this list, but it definitely has some of the best acting performances of the year in it. Whether it be Brendan Gleeson, Colin Farrell, is it Barry Keoghan? And I can't think of his sister's name, but definitely
Carrie Condon, I believe.
There you go, Carrie Condon. Top four acting performance of the year.
Yeah. Aaron, then to you for number seven.
Number seven for me, surprisingly, a little bit lower than I thought it would be, but it's Elvis. Another movie that
is lame.
No, heck no. It's so Baz Luhrmann-y. It can't possibly be lame. Austin Butler absolutely should win the Oscar. I mean, he was incredible.
Nope. Because who's out so there? Brendan Fraser.
Maybe.
Maybe. I hate the movie Elvis. I won't watch it, and I hate that performance.
You've never seen it.
I know. I don't want to watch it because it's the only thing in the way of Brendan Fraser getting his Oscar, and he needs it.
Oh man, the Elvis was such a blast, and that performance.
I don't doubt it, but Elvis bores me, so I don't want to watch it.
Well, I can tell you, it's not the best biopic of the year.
right. So, Matt, then what is your seven?
My number seven is Prey. I like that movie a lot, and it's
I'm not hating. I love that. It didn't make my list, but it was on the short.
I'd rather watch The Interceptor.
Oh, I know. Listen. Personally, I think it's the best Predator movie. Like,
stop the recording. Stop the whole damn thing.
I love the first Predator movie. It's such a bonkers 80s action monster movie. It's great. But
it's nearly perfect.
but Prey, I don't know, man. Like, there's something about it that just.
Hey, I'm not hating on your love for it.
It was so good.
It worked. It definitely
it
worked.
It really did.
No doubt.
The Predator design was great. I love the setting that they put it in, like everything about it. I want more movies like that.
I agree. I loved it. It didn't make my list, but I did have a blast with it. My number 7's been touched on, so I'll just mention it briefly. Bullet Train. This high, it's an absolute blast, but it's this high for mostly because of the holy crap performance from Aaron Taylor Johnson. One of my favorite performances of the year in a silly nonsense action movie to have a performance like that. It impressed me beyond belief. I mean,
he and Brian Tyree Henry, they're two parts of a whole. You can't leave one out.
Yes, 100%. 100%, no doubt. But Aaron Taylor Johnson for me was the reason for that movie working. Yep. God, he nailed that. Holy cow, he nailed that. So, number 7 for me, which gets us to Steve. What's your number 7, Steve?
My number 7 is also the same as Aaron's. It is Elvis. I wasn't going to watch this movie because I'm with Shane. I don't really care for Elvis. But after seeing him get a nomination for it, I watched it, and Austin Butler is fantastic in this. I don't think he'll win the Oscar because I've seen Brendan Fraser, The Whale, and I thought he was better in it. But Austin Butler was fantastic. He's crazy in that.
I saw one somebody posted. I forget what. I wish I had remembered to give it credit, but it basically said, "We're not about to give Austin Butler an Oscar for doing the same thing hundreds of people do in Vegas every year, right?"
I mean, they're not wrong though.
Right. Oh man. All right, that brings us to Aaron at number 6. What have you got for 6?
Surprisingly low for me, considering how much I liked it. But the biggest criteria was how much it stuck with me, and I found 5 others ahead of it. But it's The Banshees of Inisherin. I loved this movie. I loved the story. I loved the performances. The 5 ahead of this stuck with me, did more for me, and this one fell out of my top 5 for it. It's still something I will. It's just a good year, man. Any other year, this would have definitely been in a top 5, but most of it wasn't as fun and as funny as the other Martin McDonagh movies. So that's what held it back a little bit.
Definitely was not that.
Yeah, all right. Matt, then what is your number 6?
In almost stark contrast to that, I have an actually good movie at my number 6. It's The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
There it is. I knew it would show up in people's lists.
I love this movie so much. It's so funny. Nicolas Cage in like his old age is one of my favorite working actors right now. Like everything he does is just so good.
Say this.
I mean, no, don't get me wrong. Like some of the early Nick Cage movies I also really like, but he did a lot of stinkers in the middle part of his career. He can just do whatever he wants.
Like Nick Cage was on top of the world in the 90s, and now people are trying to jump back on the train. Meanwhile, I was there alone trying to make friends with myself the whole time.
that was the one I mentioned, and there's nothing to not like about that movie. Pascal, come on.
It has one of the 2 best acid trip scenes in movies that came out this year.
Might be the best written movie, something so absurd. Yet there are moments in that movie where you legitimately care for these characters, and it works in every way.
That's also my number 6, so I'll give my thoughts on it as well. So Aaron, you just mentioned it, how much we care about the just silliness. It's nonsense, and that's a testament to their acting, how to be able to pull off the comedy, which requires the timing and everything that comedic acting requires, but to be good enough as a performer to make real characters and a real relationship. I mean, how many buddy cop relationships just don't work because there's no chemistry and there's just no real relationship there? And this essentially is that odd couple kind of movie, I should say, but it's, they pull it off amazingly. It's those two in the silliest situations with just Nick Cage playing Nick Cage. It's bonkers, and it works amazingly. It's a great movie. And yeah, like I said, Nick Cage always has been a great actor and still is a great actor.
Well,
yeah, that movie was
off. You fell off the Nick Cage train.
that was my other honorable mention of the three.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal and Nick Cage in that are fantastic. And I love like the throwback to when Nick Cage was super young with the
he was so willing to make fun of himself.
Talking to his younger self,
yeah. Talking to Nicky.
Yes. And Nick Cage's willingness to embrace,
yep,
to poke fun at himself, to
and
to
his career arc and his,
yes, yeah. and even just how he knows how his knowledge and his yearning to play these different types of roles and to compare these silly roles that he's playing with these legendary, you know, French roles that of, you know, and just to make fun of how kind of arrogant and pompous other people can perceive him when it's really just his passion for movies, and he maybe comes across the wrong way, but every bit of it I love, down to the part where his favorite movie is Paddington 2. I mean,
oh my god. And then I'm telling you, it's best scene of the year is when they get high and they're running from people, yeah, they think are after them, and then they have to get over a stone, yeah, wall.
Yeah. Oh,
I won't spoil anything, but god, it's funny.
Scene after scene of greatness. Absolutely great movie. That brings us though to Steve at number six. What have you got for six?
My number six, pretty sure it's gonna be, I'm the only person who saw it this year, and it is The Whale. I saw it in theaters, and honestly it's kind of a tough movie to get through because he's kind of going through a lot of things and trying to get back in connection with his daughter. Brendan Fraser was fantastic in it. I hope he wins, man, every award.
Can we say that's the greatest thing that happened this year? I mean, as far as movies go, the greatest thing that could happen is the comeback of Brendan Fraser.
It's not that. It's the amount of love he's getting universally.
But that has always had. That's what kills me.
But then he recognizes it.
Yes, he's always had it, and he thought that he was this pariah, and he had no idea that he was so loved, and now he's finally realizing it. It's the greatest story of this year in movies is the Brendan Fraser, and
I don't know how many
mentioned earlier, Matt, how it warms your heart, dude. Anytime I see Brendan Fraser in a video of him and
it makes
getting
me cry.
Accolades, oh my god.
I'm not even kidding, not because kidding he breaks
like,
down.
I tear up. It makes me like, it makes me so happy.
It's a man that realized how much love people have for him, and yep, he breaks down, and it's so hard to watch because like,
because he went through a moment where he had no love for himself. He thought nobody, it's just the whole arc of what happened to him. Devastating, horrendous thing that happened to him. And for him to come back and realize that his fans were always there. It's the best thing that happened. I threw this thing off the rails, but I just had to mention that the greatest thing ever.
I think it was Vanity Fair did a round table with a bunch of the actors for the Golden Globes. And him and Key were in it. And there's a moment between the two of them where Brendan says, "We're still here." And they both like start crying because like both of them have been around for 30 years.
Yeah.
And both of them were in contention for best actor this year.
And he did a round table with Adam Sandler. And mm-hmm. I mean, just anything that I see him in, I love it. It just, I'm so happy that he's come back.
He's fantastic in this movie. If you go, definitely go see it.
It's not available to stream or rent yet. Yeah, that's the hard part. I didn't get the chance to see it in theaters yet, but it's definitely, I'm going to see it as soon as I can.
Yep. That brings us to five, top five. So these are the big ones. Aaron, what is your number five movie of the year?
Big surprise. And you want to talk about one that you keep thinking about, whether it's the performances, incredible performances, but subtle performances, a fantastic true story, a long movie that doesn't feel long because of the tension and how exciting and nervous and everything. It's 13 Lives, the Amazon original. My goodness, I love this movie. I mean, it is, I knew the story. And I was on the edge of my seat the whole way through. It's so tense. I said, when we did our full review, I said this, my wife made me stop the movie and refuse to finish it until I told her what happened at the end, because she didn't want to sit through the rest of it. It's so incredible what they did with this movie, what they made you feel, and the mix of emotions from the excitement of finding these children, and then the, oh crap, we found them, now we have to get them out. It's not possible. It's crazy. I loved every bit of this movie.
100%. 100%. Matt, your top five movies of the year. What is your number five?
Clocking in at number five, and this never happens. It's The Batman. A comic book movie never cracks my top five ever.
Let's be fair. None of us ever even consider that. Like, it's like, yeah, that was fun, but whatever.
Right, exactly. But man, Robert Pattinson... What a guy. Call him
Bobby Patty.
What a guy.
Bobby Patty.
Bobby Patty. What a guy.
Chris, when did Christopher Walken get here?
Yeah.
Honestly, the movie might even be higher up on my list if it wasn't for the issues that I had with the third act. But like, it's such a phenomenal movie. It's so well made, great performances. Man, Robert Pattinson really has come into his own as an actor. Like, we've completely, like, he's shaken off the whole stupid Twilight Harry Potter stuff, and like, he's a
easy
real actor
now. Easy.
What a crazy comeback to be in Twilight and be completely terrible, and then
boy, yeah, it's crazy. Man, he had to earn his way back after that crap.
Holy, he really did. God.
That brings me to my number five, and you may hate me, and I don't care.
I feel like that precedes every one of your choices. I've a stupid movie, and you're gonna hate me.
I stand by this. I don't even care. To come fight me at my house, I don't care. Number five is Violent Night.
You know, I can't even be mad.
I am unashamed that cracked my top five.
That movie is a lot of fun.
Cannot tell you the just the smile that was on my face in theaters watching that movie. The soundtrack, the performances, just the mashup of the accomplishment to be able to make a hyper violent, bloody, rated R action movie, but to still achieve that like Christmas movie.
Yeah,
you have to have that charm, like the holiday spirit, to be able to merge those two successfully. I would have thought it was impossible, but they absolutely nailed it. David Harbour, fantastic. John Leguizamo, some of the best one-liners of the year. Like I mentioned, great, great soundtrack. The ending scene was one of my favorites of the year. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed that movie, and I will be watching that every Christmas from now on until I die. I promise you.
After I watched it, I was like, this needs to go into my Christmas rotation.
Love it.
Like,
absolutely love it. Not even ashamed. That's my number five. Steve, to your number five, top five of the year, where are you starting at?
I feel like I'm copying Aaron a little here, but my number five is 13 Lives. Colin Farrell and Viggo Mortensen in this were fantastic.
Joel Egerton too.
Very, very true. Sorry, I forgot about him. I didn't know the story going in, but my wife did, and she sat right next to me the whole time, and she's like, she was just mind blown the whole time, even knowing the story. And like Aaron said, it's a bit long, but I thought it was definitely worth it.
We didn't even give credit. Who's the other guy? The inexperienced diver. He kind of has the breakdown at the end.
Josh Bacon's daughter.
I can't think of his name, but he was in American Horror Story. And yeah,
he was so good.
Very good. Very, very good.
Was it Tom Bateman?
Yep.
Yes, Tom Bateman.
That was him. That was
very good in it. And he was more of a surprise. I've not seen him do. I've seen him in like silly, like American Horror Story. Nobody's taking that role seriously. Yeah. He was like the kind of the playboy in the Murder on the Orient Express
Denial.
So I'd never seen him in anything like that with a role with that sort of depth. So he was the biggest surprise in that movie to me. But Aaron, that brings us to number four. What is number four for you?
Oh, the best experience at a theater all year. I'm actually surprised it's this low. I would have put it in my top movie of the year until I really thought about it, but Top Gun 2, man, it is the perfect sequel to Top Gun. There, it did everything right. It hit all the right notes. Great action sequences. Great. The way they treated Val Kilmer's character, perfect.
Oh,
just everything about it was so
top five scene of the year. Yep. mean, just, man, you want to talk about tearing up? I'm not even ashamed. I wiped tears away in the theater.
I said that after I saw that. Oh. I said that it's like this movie had no business hitting that hard and Rooster's son. And
no, oh, I'm about to tear up.
I mean, him and Goose's son, Rooster. But man, it's such a blast.
Yeah.
When you boil it down, it's a silly action movie, but.
And not without its faults.
Definitely. I mean, it's basically it's got Star Tom Wars.
In it. Right. It's Star got Wars. Tom Cruise. Yeah. It's definitely. Yeah. But I mean, so I love that pick. I love the movie. Matt, yep. What is your number four?
Clocking in at number four for me is Pearl. It's the prequel to X. It's the better of the two movies, obviously, because X didn't quite make my list. But man, what a wild
I have yet to see
set that. Of movies. You and should see both of them.
I've seen X. X was great. I loved it.
Oh yeah. And Mia Goth knocks it out of the park again.
She's in my opinion, I liked X better than Pearl.
Did you?
I think, well, here, I'll put it this way. Mia Goth was much better and had more to do in Pearl, but X was a better movie in my opinion.
See, and I can't fault you for that, but I think that Pearl was the more interesting of the two, because like X is, it boils down to a slasher movie, but it's an interesting slasher movie.
But there was that one scene, the montage scene where they're singing the Stevie Nicks song, and it makes you have feelings for the bad guy.
Oh yeah. No, and
that director is underrated as a horror director, as a director in general. Ty West, I believe.
Ty West is it. Yeah. Great
filmography. I mean, if you haven't seen his stuff, look up his filmography. Underrated director. And he knocks out two absolute freaking bombs like in one year. That's crazy.
Yeah. And like, I think the reason that I put Pearl over X is it's a lot more stylized in its filmmaking. It has like this whole kind of like old like
Wizard of Oz.
If you guys haven't seen, and I know I'm going off topic here, but I don't care. Yeah, I'm hosting. Ty West did a Western with
you derailed us for this. Great.
No, I got it. Ethan Hawke. He did a Western with Ethan Hawke John Travolta. Ethan Hawke and John Travolta. In the
Valley of called?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's just in the Valley of Death or something. I can't remember. Really stylized
in a Valley of Violence.
In a Valley of Violence, yes. Stylized Western with Travolta hamming up as only he can do, and Ethan Hawke is just always great. So yeah, that one's fantastic. But go ahead, Matt.
No. It's just like Aaron said, it's got like this old kind of like 20s, 30s Wizard of Oz type like sheen over it. And there's this whole scene, and it's one of my favorite scenes of the year, where she goes and does like this audition for like a dance troupe, and it's one of the best scenes of the whole year for me.
It's when a switch flips and she goes from like, you know, Midwestern gal to what you can see where the person from X shows up.
Yep.
And it's so good.
Mia Goth is quickly becoming one of my favorite working actresses. Yeah, she's in another upcoming movie.
The Cronenberg movie.
Yeah, the Cronenberg Infinity Pool, which I really want to see.
Yeah, I don't. I've seen trailers. I don't know what the hell that's about, but I'm in.
Doesn't matter.
Right? It just looks good. That brings it to me for number four. It's been mentioned, so I'll be quick. maybe it hasn't been mentioned. Yeah, it has. The Batman. I mean, best soundtrack of the year, maybe. Probably.
Not maybe.
It's definitely up there.
I mean, so we've had Batman movies that have been comic book. I mean, you talk about all the 90s ones, all of the Schumacher ones, especially. They felt like comic books. We've had Batman that's done real life. This one had the aesthetic and the feel of the comic books, but also took itself serious enough as a movie. It's a great movie, even outside of its comic book context. It's a great comic adaptation. It's a great characterization. It felt like a Batman movie ought to feel. Everything about it. And like Matt said, some issues, especially in the third act, some issues, and depending on how much that affects you will affect how much you enjoyed it. Man, just the feel of it, though, of that movie, the tone of it, and everything about it, that they nailed it. I cannot wait for number two and three and how they round out this trilogy.
It's going to be interesting for sure. I'm excited for it.
Also, I've heard rumors that the upcoming villain in number two will be the Condiment King. So,
I hope so.
I've already doubted Matt Reeves once. I'm not going to do it again. If he wants to do that, go for it.
For that. So, Steve, that brings you to number four. What's number four?
My number four is Bullet Train. It's already been mentioned multiple times on here. Fun blast of a movie. Brian Tyree Henry is fantastic. ATJ all as well.
And some great hair. He's got some great hair in that movie.
Definitely. and that there are rumors that he is going to be the next James Bond.
I would not have been on board before
Bullet Train.
After seeing Bullet Train, it makes me want him to be James Bond.
If you need to be convinced that he could pull it off, watch Bullet Train.
Yeah, I mean, if you're telling me that was his tryouts, you got the job. I'm in. I'm fine with that.
Oh, yeah.
So, Aaron, then.
Yeah, good pick.
Number three.
We're in the top three now.
Top three. And this, I will put my stamp on it, is the best movie of the year. Not my favorite, because there are two ahead of it. But the best movie of the year is Everything Everywhere All at Once. This is a damn near perfect movie. And any reviewer that makes a top 10 list and hasn't seen it should just
turn that.
I am telling you, the performances, the bonkers story. You're talking about unbearable weight of massive talent being this crazy story that somehow pulls it all off. This, I'm not even ashamed. This movie made me cry. Some insane action scenes in this movie. So very well done. How do you pull off action this well and not be an action movie? It's so good.
Hear me out.
It's the perfect movie.
My number 10 was Day Shift. You really think it's knocking that off?
I can almost guarantee it is.
And I had the best part of it is, well, first of all, you can't. The trailer's perfect. It doesn't spoil anything. But you have no idea what you're getting into until you're into it. And the whole time you're like, oh, God, here we go. Here we go. Like strap yourself in. It's a crazy ride. You will never guess the next step of the process of this movie. It's so damn good. Everything Everywhere All at Once. The best movie of the year. Not my favorite, but it's at my number three. But man, I loved every second of it.
All right. Then Matt, your number three.
Coming in at number three for me is The Northman. I was really excited for the movie. I was late seeing it, but after I saw it, I was like, man, I absolutely love this movie. Gareth Edwards is top three director for me. Like he hasn't missed. He has Robert not Eggers. Missed. Or yeah, sorry, Robert Eggers, not
Gareth Edwards.
Yeah, he's the other guy.
Wait, hold up.
the number of times that I have mixed those two names up, I don't even. I'm ashamed to. I'm not even going to give the number. That's how ashamed I am.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not hating on that selection. It was one of the most disappointing movies of the year for me.
See, and I wasn't disappointed at all. I didn't really, because I hadn't seen any trailers for it. I went in completely blind, not knowing what to expect. and I really, really liked it. Great performances from everybody. Anya Taylor-Joy is still my favorite actress working right now. Yeah, everybody.
Even Nicole Kidman.
Yes, even Nicole Kidman.
What? Come on.
I thought she did it. I thought her performance was pretty good in that movie. Right. If I had any knocks on the movie at all, it's that Willem Dafoe wasn't in it enough.
That can be a knock on any movie. Yeah, either not true. In it enough, not in it at all. Those are
that's true. That's true.
Or Ethan Hawke. I mean, gosh, he was dang. Good for the little bit he was in it.
He's always good, man. He's another good. One. Like,
even in the Black Phone, he was good in it. And that movie was fine. But yeah, The Northman, very, very good.
Is there anybody working today that can rival the visual storytelling of Robert Eggers?
No,
I don't. Zack Snyder.
I think from and like just how particular, and because he's done nothing but period pieces so far, and the way that he builds his worlds and makes sure that everything is accurate, he's easily my favorite director working right now. He's 3 for 3 in my book. Yeah, I cannot wait for the Nosferatu movie.
Yeah, the one that's never coming out.
Coming out this year.
They've been teasing it for 40. He's not even 40 years old, and it's been in the making for 40 years, it feels like.
So that brings me to number 3, and I've got one that's already shown up. Top Gun.
You're all gonna hate me.
Matt's gonna hate me.
It is a stupid movie. You're right.
But Top Gun Maverick, that movie is. Aaron said it was the perfect sequel. I'll take it one step further. It's the perfect blockbuster. It is, that movie is the reason movie theaters exist, is to see that movie in the theaters, the big screen, the sound, the soundtrack, the original song by Lady Gaga, Hold My Hand. Oh my God. Just a great, I mean, everything about that movie. Not everything, because like we said, I don't want to exaggerate. It has its faults, but so much works, and it works so well. Tom Cruise, his characterization of Maverick was significantly better in this than in the original. Oh, the Val Kilmer scene is, I mean, I'm a huge Val Kilmer fan. You all know that. That scene to me, that hit me harder than any scene I've and well, some of it's
and the whole time you're thinking how are they going to handle it, well, and when it's over it's like nailed it.
And perfect. Just I mean I've always loved Val Kilmer, and so just watching what's been going on with him, and then to see him to be able to be sent off in a movie in such a respectful way that mm-hmm. fits in his real life issues, it was perfect. It was perfectly handled. And the whole movie, I mean, unbelievable shots on the action scenes. I mean, put you in the seat like I've never seen an action movie do. So, yeah, that's my number 3.
So what you're telling me is that they ripped up the paper bag before they handed it to Tom Cruise and told him to act his way out of it.
Yeah, I mean, but they maybe poked a hole in it, made it a little easier for him. He got out. He's like when you know when they helped the baby dinosaur out in Jurassic Park, and he got out. Steve, that brings you to number 3. Yep, what have you got? Yep.
Yeah, my number 3 has already been mentioned. It is the Batman. Like we said, Pattinson was fantastic in it. Surprise! Guess who I'm going to mention again? Colin Farrell.
I know, what are you?
Yeah, I always forget that he's in it.
3 movies. Yeah, you don't even know
what the man's a chameleon. Makeup.
Yeah. So Banshees of Inisherin, 13 Lives, and The Batman. 3 movies. And
he was in an A24 movie called After True. Yang. He was incredible in that.
What a year for him. Maybe one of the greatest scenes of the year is the car chase scene
in The Batman. Man,
the Batmobile, just the introduction of the Batmobile,
the reveal of that.
Oh yeah.
This is everything I wanted from a Batman movie. It was dark. It felt like Gotham City. Everything that's been written about Gotham City, it felt like Gotham City.
Yeah, no doubt. That brings us to Aaron at number 2.
Yeah, this will come up. I guarantee it in other lists. It is the movie that stuck with me. It was the hardest movie to get through. It is incredible in every single way. Acting, what you see on screen, just the writing, the everything is the All Quiet on the Western Front. Is no, not the monster. All Quiet on the Western Front is incredible. And you, I guarantee you, if you watch it, you will not stop thinking about it.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Sticks with you, no doubt.
And the only thing that might rival the best soundtrack, rival the Batman.
Oh,
so good.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Matt, that brings you to number two. What have you got?
My number two, and I don't care if you guys...
Here we go.
Listen, you're going to hate me. I don't care. My bias is showing, and I'm fine with it. My number two is weird.
I'm not even hating.
It's the most fun I've had in any movie this year. It's so good. You want to talk about one-liners. There are so many good one-liners in this movie. I've already watched it four or five times since it came out, and it came out in what, August? It's such a fantastic movie.
And so true to the
yes, 100% true to Weird Al's life. It definitely didn't make anything up for it at all.
Oh my gosh.
I can't recommend them. Yeah, if you're in our audience and you're a Zoomer, and maybe the movie's not for you. But if you're 30 plus, you should see this movie.
Undoubtedly. Yeah, and if you're listening and you haven't listened to our Weird Al episode, we have a full episode review of that. We all enjoyed it.
It's free on Roku. Roku's website. It's free. Go watch it.
Yeah, yes. I'm not hating There's you. No even, reason I'm not to. Hating you for the pick, Matt. I'm not even hating you for the spot because I mean. It could easily be my number one, but this, you know, just didn't make it. But yeah, great movie. That brings me to my number two. It's been mentioned before. I'll touch on it very briefly. 13 Lives, nearly flawless movie. An unbelievable true story. The directing is maybe the best that Ron Howard's ever done, and that's saying something considering his filmography.
It is.
Yeah, you're right. It is the best directing he's ever done. Performances across the board, real life drama, everything, nearly flawless movie, unbelievably great, well-made, well-acted movie. So that brings us to Steve. What is your number two?
Number two, it's been mentioned, might not be the greatest movie of the year, but it was probably damn sure the most fun movie I've had in a theater, Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
Like we said, everything a sequel should be. I told my wife going in, if I don't hear, wow, I just blanked on the song.
Which one, Danger Zone?
I said, if I don't hear Danger Zone in this movie, I'm going to be pissed. And it's literally, spoiler alert, it's the entrance.
Yeah. Right off the bat.
And
hell
I'm like,
yeah.
All right, let's
they
go.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, and it was the perfect sequel. I loved it.
Yeah. Yep. So here it is. We're to number one. Aaron. What have you got?
It's not the best movie, obviously. I said everything everywhere. I feel like this movie was made for me. It's everything I wanted in a movie about my favorite character. I was so skeptical. It's the Batman. I was on board. Robert Pattinson, after seeing The Lighthouse, I was on board with anything he ever did. Yeah, but then to hear he's going to portray my favorite character, I'm like, hell yeah. And then Matt Reeves got on board, and I was skeptical, and I didn't
know
what
was going
to happen. And man, it felt like they made the movie I wanted to see. Everything about it, I love. And the soundtrack is incredible. The cinematography, the same guy who did Dune. I mean, come on, this guy is hit after hit. So good. It's my number one movie of the year, and I have watched it so many times already. I will continue to rewatch it. I can't wait for a sequel.
Hell yeah. Matt, your number one movie of the year.
My number one movie of the year. Aaron's already said it. It's the best movie of the year. It's also my favorite movie of the year. It's Everything Everywhere All at Once. Aaron said it's nearly perfect. I'll go a step beyond that and say that it is perfect. There's nothing wrong with this movie.
And you're right.
It's got... the it's it hits everything. It's funny. It'll make you cry. It's got great action set pieces. Some of the best kung fu fights I've seen in a movie in a long time. It's got so many good actors in it.
It took some real skill to make that a coherent story, because it's not a linear thing. It definitely
is all over the place, but it works. Like I could not stop laughing until I started crying, and then I started laughing again after that. Like it's such a good movie. If you haven't seen it, then you don't have any business making a top 10 list for the year.
Exactly.
I agree, which brings us to my number one movie of the year, which I think I'm on. Steve, I'm, if you don't have this on your list, I'm disappointed. So I think we're on the same page. Number one movie of the year, most impactful movie of the year, All Quiet on the Western Front. Is that your number one, Steve?
Oh my God, it's not.
Yeah, it's gotta be. There's no way.
So that movie, I mean, depressing as hell, hard to watch. Yeah. But the visuals are the best I've seen, maybe ever. There's a scene in particular involving tanks. It's a World War One movie, for those that don't know. There's a scene in particular involving tanks that is
horrendous.
Yes, I mean it's a horror scene in a war movie, and it is terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying, and that movie has so many moments like that are just absolutely gut-wrenching and horrifying and horrendous, and it is the most well-made, most horrendous, but best movie of the year, hands down. That's my number one. Steve, what have you got?
This was the last movie I saw of the year. It was number 84. Literally, it blew me away. I could not put it.
Yeah,
at number one, it's All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah,
Yes.
So,
oh my God,
Aaron and Shane had talked about it, and I was like, this movie can't be that good. It is a war movie like I've never seen before. USA makes war movies, and it's all
it's hoorah, all jingoistic.
It's hoorah, Maverick. That's
you're right.
This movie is hard to watch. It's dirty. It's gritty. You said that tank scene.
Yeah.
The fear of not knowing what a tank is and seeing it roll up.
Can you imagine that? You've never seen a tank in your life, and here's four of them. Just giant metal monster. That scene is
That's
terrifying.
Not even the best scene. The best scene is the one that with no war happening at all, and it would just tear your heart out when he's reading the letter. And you think it's from his mom, and then you realize it's from his wife, and you find out some backstory. That actor, incredible. Everybody in it, my God, what a good movie.
Visually, the soundtrack is fantastic. The story on this, it's just nuts.
It's a haunting movie.
I will not stop thinking about it, guaranteed.
It's been almost a month and a half, and I still think about it to this day.
No doubt. Yeah, so that wraps us up our list. Let us know your list. Yeah, send your list to us and let us know what we had too high, what we had too low, what should have made the cut, why I shouldn't be making lists because I haven't seen everything everywhere all at once.
I'm honestly kind of surprised how diverse our lists were up until we got into the top five.
Right. I mean, the great ones are the great ones. It is what it is. Let us know. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know where we were right, where we were wrong, and send us your list. And if you haven't,
at moviereviewcrew.com.
At www.moviereviewcrew.com. Right there on the homepage, you can send a request to all, do everything there. So that wraps up our list. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Good year.
Good year for movies. Year. If there's nothing else, though, somebody in the show.
Tell your friends.
All right. Bye.
Hey, guys.
Oh,
big golfs, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Good day, sir. Sir, I said good day.
Yeah. See ya.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This has been
the Movie Review Crew podcast. Remember to find us online on your favorite social media apps and go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
Linger, man.
Yeah, totally.
Linger.
Hardcore.